Factor with you. On the other side of the glass, my friend John Couch is engineering and producing our program today. And together, we welcome you to our program for this Tuesday. It's the 11th of February, 2020. We're broadcasting from the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. We're on 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk. Always on my website, and you can get all of our programs. They're all available 24/7, podcasts at buckmastershow.com. And of course, we have the live stream going on right now at buckmastershow.com. And today we resume our interview series presented by Pima Community College. This series introduces our listeners to the talented and dedicated educators of Pima Community College. Today we're going to talk about the teacher shortage in Arizona and the importance of placing highly qualified teachers in our schools for our children. Joining me in studio is Brian Stewart. Brian is Pima Community College Dean of Education and Biomedical Science. Brian's responsible for several programs, including the post-baccalaureate program, which provides teacher training to individuals who already have obtained their bachelor's degree, but now they would like to get into the classroom. Brian, how are you?
I am great today. Thank you for having me.
Are we making progress in trying to stem this shortage of teachers in our classrooms?
Yes and no.
Yeah.
So yes, we're certainly putting out more teachers than we have been in the past 10 years. But there will always be this shortage going on because a lot of the current teachers are aging out.
Mm-hmm.
And as they retire, you have to have people to fill them. And we do not have enough young people interested in education. They often go to other careers first and then come back. So that shortage will exist.
Do you think part of that is economics that's driving the younger people away from that profession?
Oh, absolutely. So both the professionalism as well as the financial component.
Mm-hmm.
There are other professions where you get celebrated and recognized,
sure.
You know, like being a doctor or
right.
a lawyer. And there's financial rewards as well. Teaching, we don't always recognize and celebrate them for all that they do for our children. And we should. There's also not the same financial compensation that occurs with the teaching area. So it's harder for a young person to look at that and go, well, where am I going to go? Because I want to have a life, right?
Let's talk about the post-bac program.
Yes.
How does it work?
So the post-bac program, really innovative in Arizona. Some other states have it, but it is definitely more innovative in Arizona. The way it works is anybody who has a bachelor's degree in anything can eventually become a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And so they come back. It's a certificate program. It lasts around, if they were going full time, about 1.5 to 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them, so we have what was called an intern pathway,
mm-hmm.
which means that they are teaching in the school districts.
Mm-hmm.
So they are working with our young people, practicing the experience of teaching while taking their classes.
So it's going on coinciding. They are in classrooms here in the districts. They're in classrooms while getting the degree.
That is correct. About 90% of our
students. So this is real world experience, Brian Stewart,
completely.
That they're getting. And you said 90%
about
of your
90%
students.
Of us are in that pathway.
Yeah.
Yes.
Give me the profile. Who's involved in this? Who's interested in it?
So very diverse. I mean, Tucson, so it's a diverse
sure.
population. Most of these individuals come into sort of two categories. We have those that are they've already had a career,
mm-hmm.
and they want to give back in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
So they come back and they go into teaching and have that experience. The second group are people who thought about teaching,
mm-hmm.
But they didn't want a degree in education.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't want to focus on that. They wanted to focus on science or mathematics or literature. So they go get the degree in that area, and then they come back to us. In order to get the teaching component.
There's something that the governor has put through this initiative that really is highly regarded, Brian Stewart. It's called the Teachers Academy. And Pima Community College, along with, I believe, the only other community college involved, is Maricopa Community College up north. How does that work? What is that initiative about?
So it's an amazing initiative. So it did start several years ago. But at the time, it was just a goal.
Uh-huh.
And it was really for the universities to really try to produce more teachers. And the universities had to sort of figure that out themselves. This last year, the governor's office re-looked at that and came up with a different plan, which was, one, to provide funding to it so that those people who are in the academy, they're not paying for their education. We cover all, the academy covers all
expenses.
So-called
a free ride.
Basically, it is.
Whoa.
They do have a commitment. They have to commit to teaching. For every year of funding that they receive, they have to commit to teaching in our schools for 1 year. So if it takes you 2 years, you have to work for us for 2 years out in our districts. So it's really good for us. Keeps people here. It keeps people who are committed to our communities, in our communities. And it provides them with a great opportunity without having to come out of that expense themselves. And it makes it easier because financial access is one of the limitations for, teacher preparation.
Now, within the teaching area, Brian Stewart, what are the desirable areas that where you know there is a shortage, not only within the shortage of teachers generally, but up at disciplines? Yeah. Where is the shortage?
So the three biggest, sciences, math, and special education. Those are the ones that have the greatest shortage. You're one of those areas you're guaranteed to get a job anywhere. Anything you're teaching, you're pretty much get a job. But those are really in high demand. We have a lot of shortages in those areas.
We're speaking with Brian Stewart. Brian is the Dean of Academic Services. He's really the head of Dean of Education and Biomedical Sciences. He is a registered nurse. He's had a very interesting career path. That really, you went back to school for your RN after being in the fine arts profession.
That is correct. Yes.
And then got your RN, and Pima offers a pathway in the RN, in the nursing profession as well. Correct?
That is correct. Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So the nursing program is a 2-year program.
Yeah.
And they'll complete, after that and be able to sit for their, RN, just as if you were to go to a bachelor's program. And you become registered nurse, after sitting for your boards in Arizona. Just like any other nurse out there. It's much less expensive to go to a community college than it is to go to a 4-year university.
And talk about an area that is always available, always teacher shortage. There's always a nursing shortage.
Yes, there is. It's been around for 20 plus years.
You write your own ticket,
you do,
basically,
nowadays,
when you get that RN. Now, if some of our listeners are thinking perhaps they were thinking about early retirement from a particular area and they thought, you know, maybe I would want to get into teaching, go that direction. When is the sign-up period, Brian?
You follow the traditional semesters that most of the school districts go. So we typically start our programming in August and in January.
Okay.
Although we do have some stuff that'll happen over the summers as well. But they can come in at those times. Or even before that, we just get them set up so that's when it actually starts. So that they can contact us at any point in time and they'll help them get on that pathway.
Another question for you. Could someone continue to hold a job and still work in the post back program?
Most of our students do have they're teaching.
So it doesn't doesn't have to be one or the other.
No.
You can go that direction.
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. And where are your classes held, Brian?
So all of our actual classes are online. That way we can reach a bigger demographic. And then all of the teaching components are done within the districts. But we do have students out on like the Navajo Reservation who are working in a district up there, as well as coming to school here. So we do reach all of Arizona. Most of them are in southern Arizona.
And as far as the Teachers Academy, how do the folks get involved with that?
So when they contact us for their regular program, there's an application process for the Teachers Academy. It's mostly to make sure that people understand there's this commitment to pay back at the end. And as they go through that, they can tie into the Teachers Academy.
And if anybody is listening that would like more information, and I hope they do, Brian, are you easily accessible?
We are. So you can call us at any time.
Yes.
206-5105. And it'll bring it right into that area.
Just go to the website?
And the website.
At just pima.edu. We'll take care of it.
Yes.
All right, Brian Stewart, interesting stuff. Yes. Thank you very much for what you're doing. Brian Stewart, who is the Dean of Education and Biomedical Sciences at Pima Community College. He is also the Dean of Student Success. What is that, basically?
So Student Success is our area that we help support students in their other coursework.
Okay.
Time management, learning skills, transferring to the universities, those kind of things. So we have a whole series of courses around that.
All right. Well, you're a busy guy. You've got your different hats.
Yes.
you're wearing at Pima. And again, the website is pima.edu. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you very much.
All right. This portion of the Buckmaster Show is presented by our friends over at Mona's Danish Bakery. I always get hungry, Brian, just talking about Mona's Danish Bakery, the home of the Danish Kringle, located in the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. I love their pastries, the breakfast they're doing now every morning, 6:30. They got the grill fired up, and of course they're open right now for lunch. Was up there Sunday and had that hot turkey sandwich. Oh my goodness, that was so good. On that rustic bread, they call it. Oh, am I making you hungry, Brian?
Yes, you are, actually. It's lunchtime.
All right. Mona'sDanishBakery.com is their website. Also a link to all of our great sponsors, including Pima Community College. You can find out that link and at BuckmasterShow.com. We'll be right back.
The Regional Transportation Authority and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 850 transportation projects or service improvements across the region to date. The RTA is a state-established political subdivision and taxing district. The RTA's current half-cent sales tax funds the 20-year plan through June 2026. And the RTA is laying the foundation to develop a new plan. To learn more, please visit www.rtanext.com.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson.
Biosphere 2's new ocean tour takes you behind the scenes of the largest experimental ocean in the world, researching solutions for the global coral reef crisis. Other exciting tours include the amazing 30-year history, a family tour for families with kids 10 and under, and the inspiring Under the Glass tour, one of the 50 must-see wonders of the world. Visit UA Biosphere 2 today. Explore the future. Online giving for coral reef research and information about tours and more at biosphere2.org.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
And additional support comes from Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Just a three-hour drive from Tucson, visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete listing of, there's so many nice places to stay over there. Check it out. They're all available there on the web. Also, all sorts of ideas about what to do when you get there, like visiting the world-famous Gila Cliff Dwellings National Monument just north of Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico.
Shelley Fishman is a financial consultant in private practice in Tucson, Arizona. The views expressed during this segment are his own and don't necessarily represent those of this station or of Bill Buckmaster Communications. Contact Shelley through buckmastershow.com or at shelleyfishman.com.
And here he is in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio, Mr. Shelley Fishman. Shelley, how was your weekend and how is the new week progressing for you?
Well, the week's going well. The weekend was great. And the markets in general have kind of stabilized the volatility that we'd been seeing, you know, up 400, down 400. That seems to have ebbed for now.
The thing that worries so many people, this troubling about what's called the supply chain, when you're dealing with this coronavirus, so many parts are made in China for automobiles and our electronic devices.
Right. Remember that the manufacturing processes in worldwide business today are literally worldwide, and they're so intermingled that it's hard to kind of break them apart. So it's not just that we get raw materials from one place and then they go into a sub-assembly plant and then that moves out to a final assembly.
That's the way it used to be in the old
several decades ago.
When you and I were the raw materials, and then everything was pretty much done on site. That doesn't happen anymore.
Today, a raw material can come from Asia, move to Mexico for sub assembly, move back to China for some assembly of intermediate parts, and then move to Japan for final assembly, or Detroit for final assembly, or Mexico, so that when something smack dab in the middle of that whole chain of supply gets threatened or in some way compromised, then it ripples throughout the economy. Now, it hasn't been too bad yet. And in fact, J.P. Morgan today suggested that it wasn't as bad as some people had thought it was going to be. But nevertheless, we have reports of plants in Japan and Mexico and even here in the U.S. that have to slow down or shut down because they can't get the parts they need to finish the jobs that they need to be doing.
Think about it this way. You've got 99% of your parts, right? Suddenly, we're missing one part. Well,
I'll ship it anyway.
Yeah, no, you got an automobile assembly line. You're going to shut that whole line because it's one part missing. Because obviously, you're not going to send a car out with a part missing.
Right. So in a way, it's the opposite problem that we're seeing in the airline industry today. Because with Boeing shutting down its plants in its biggest product, the 727 MAX.
Mm-hmm.
So 737 MAX.
Yeah.
27? Yeah. That's a long time ago.
Well, I remember those.
Yeah,
I was
right.
Like, whoa, are they making them again?
No. Okay. But what happened there is the people who supply parts to Boeing, because Boeing is the final assembler, they're shutting down because the final assembler isn't using the parts. So we have several things going on in the world right now that we couldn't have predicted even a year ago. And as a result, the effect on GDP and GDP growth is very difficult to measure, but we know it's going to have somewhat of a negative effect.
Have the fourth quarter numbers come in?
Well, the fourth quarter numbers have not come in, which is a little bit scary. We would normally see some preliminary numbers.
End of January.
And we didn't see them. So it's either that the numbers are coming in more slowly from the various components that put those numbers together. Or, if you're a conspiracy theorist, you would think the numbers aren't as good as they had hoped to be. And so they're trying to wait for final numbers before they publish them. What I'm looking at, quite frankly, is if the number is closer to one than to two, then I'm looking at the first quarter this year in 2020 that could be flat down to zero, and that would really signal the beginning of a recessive period, and that's kind of worrying because of the effect on jobs and on people who are the most vulnerable.
But unemployment is really down.
Unemployment, today, if you want a job, you can get one.
Right.
Unemployment's down, below 4%. We've got 3.5, 3.6. The employment number for January was much higher than most economists had predicted it was going to be. And so what we heard when that number was published last Friday, about 240,000 jobs, were people saying, well, this signals a strong economy. But, those reports are not unilateral. What happens is those reports then have a lot of paragraphs, above the headline.
Right.
And one of the numbers that was in Friday's report was that the prior 12 months number had been adjusted down once again by almost 400,000 jobs. So that even though we had said that in 2019, the economy had produced almost 2 million, just under 2 million jobs, it looks like that number was significantly less than that.
Can you take a quick call?
Sure.
Let's go to Paul, 790-2040. Hey, Paul.
Hi, how you doing? Good to hear your show again.
Thank you.
I don't know if either of you have ever run any manufacturing plants or not. Probably not, since you're in the entertainment business. But we have the same problems with labor unions and strikes coming up occasionally. Sometimes immediacy that we can't predict. And they affect us the same way that this problem in China is affecting us, and it seems like you're really concerned about the China thing, but you don't care about the labor unions hurting us.
Well, Paul, that's a very good point. Clearly, when you have a labor force that is organized and is negotiating for their wages and other benefits, you always have the possibility that if those negotiations don't go well,
sure,
then clearly that can affect your business severely. One of the things we've seen in this country in the past 30 or 40 years is a very significant decrease in the unionization of American labor. Mm-hmm. Now, some people, especially people like you, Paul, I imagine, think that's a good thing. However, when you take a look at the effect of the lack of unions on the middle class in general, it's had an overall negative effect.
Salary-wise?
So, salary-wise and also benefits-wise. And so that's something that I think the jury is still out on. What is the effect of the disorganization, if you will, of the labor force and how that is going to affect the economy as we move forward? I remember one of the things that always happened in the 1980s, as President Reagan was moving against some of the unions, it really created a movement against unionization,
yes,
and that had a very large effect on labor's ability to negotiate their benefits and their pay.
Mm-hmm.
Now we see other unions that have become, in some ways, strengthened. We see, for instance, police force unions and some other unions that have done a good job of maintaining their influence. But yeah, Paul is absolutely right. If you're especially if you have a small business and you don't have the power to really negotiate from a position of strength, an organized labor force can be very, very threatening to you.
But since World War II, the diminishment of labor has been huge in
worldwide
unions, and it has been reflected in wages.
Yes, and the other thing, of course, is that as the labor force becomes more mobile and less loyal, if you will, to the idea of 40 years on a gold watch and you retire with a defined benefit plan,
right?
The whole issue of what is the relationship of labor and the labor force to the the people they work for and vice versa? What's the responsibility to train that labor force? Mm-hmm. What's the responsibility to make sure that they have the benefits they need?
Right.
Because, you know, there's no loyalty, or there's not as much loyalty as there was, and that goes in both directions. So that has changed the way we think about labor, mm-hmm. and in many ways what it's done is motivated the automation of jobs
yes.
that used to be labor intensive.
Right. So, Paul, we're glad you brought that up.
Yes, thank you.
Talking
Paul.
About unions. Okay, bottom line, you are fairly pessimistic about the economy right now. Do you see correction area?
Let's not confuse the economy and the stock market.
I know. Okay.
So I see a mild recession in 2020.
Okay.
I'm in the minority now. I mean, I was in the majority 6, 7, 8 months ago. Right now, I'd say 30% of economists are thinking a mild recession in 2020. Probably we're due for a correction in the markets and in the equity markets. I don't think it's going to be a 40% drop, but we could do 1 or 2 10% drops during this year. I wouldn't panic so long as it's orderly and we pull out of it in an orderly way.
And it's been that way.
It has been that way.
Which is
if
good.
On the other hand, it gets to be kind of a snowball,
yeah.
then you need to take defensive measures.
All right, Shelley, always a pleasure. We hope you have a great week.
You too, Bill.
Thank you.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Biosphere 2's new ocean tour takes you behind the scenes of the largest experimental ocean in the world, researching solutions for the global coral reef crisis. Other exciting tours include the amazing 30-year history, a family tour for families with kids 10 and under, and the inspiring Under the Glass tour, one of the 50 must-see wonders of the world. Visit UA Biosphere 2 today. Explore the future. Online giving for coral reef research and information about tours and more at biosphere2.org.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Mo has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Mo for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, the midway point of the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. I often say that Tucson's the last place to get autumn in North America. The leaves seem to change around December. We're the first place, however, in the new year to get spring. And judging by the great weather we had last weekend, they had a big weekend over at Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. What a beautiful area. 13-acre site there right by the Rito. It's now home not only to Green Things and all the wonderful plants. Spring has sprung over at Green Things. But what about Zocalo and all that great furniture, much of it handcrafted, all the beautiful pottery from Mexico, Latin America, and Europe? Come tour the five shops at Zocalo Village as part of Green Things. It's greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. The Buckmaster Show contributor on the environment is Mitch Tobin. We're so delighted to have Mitch as one of 24 experts in their particular area. Mitch is the director now of the Water Desk. It's a new journalism initiative at the University of Colorado in Boulder, focusing on Western water issues in the Colorado River Basin. Mitch is an award-winning journalist. He's a former environmental reporter for the Napa Valley Register in California. He worked at the Tucson Citizen and the Arizona Daily Star. He's the author of Endangered, which shows why so many species are at risk of extinction. That book won a gold medal in the Independent Book Publisher Awards. Mitch joins us now on the live line from his home base up at the University of Colorado Boulder. Mitch, how are you?
I'm doing great, Bill. It's really nice to be on the show.
Tell me about the Water Desk. How's that going? Is it 6 months into this already?
You know, we're getting close to our 1 year anniversary. We started in March of last year.
Wow.
Things are going really well. Our mission is to increase the volume and the depth and the power of water related journalism. So we give out grants to journalists to help support their coverage, have been producing some content on our own, and we're really excited and been doing some interesting work so far.
Well, when you think about it, Mitch, what's a more important resource to where we live in the West? It's water, isn't it?
It sure is. And, you know, people have recognized that since time immemorial in this part of the world. Water is scarce, and it's always been a challenge in terms of living here.
2 months into winter already, pretty much. We're about another month away from mid-March and spring. Give me an update on the all-important Colorado River Basin area, the Colorado River, of course. It's so important, your area. What kind of snowpack have you had this winter?
Here in Colorado, we've been doing pretty well. We actually had a pretty big snowstorm over the weekend, ranging from 2 to 4 feet in various parts of Colorado, and I'm looking out my window here on campus, and we got about 6 inches last night. And so here in Colorado, the snowpack varies from roughly average in the southwestern corner of the state to between 120 to 130% of normal in the northern part of the state. So far, it's been a decent year for the snowpack here in Colorado. But when you look at the forecast for the Colorado River, Right now, the forecasted inflow to Lake Powell is actually below average, about 80%. And, you know, other parts of the basin have not been as wet as we have been here in Colorado. And also, you can build up a deficit in terms of the soil moisture. And so what precipitation does fall can soak into the ground rather than run off to streams and rivers. And so it's really, you know, too early to say in terms of this winter, in terms of what the snowpack will bring. We've got a couple of more months to go, so it could go either direction. But so far, it's been a decent snowpack here in Colorado, but for the Colorado River, still a below average forecast at this point.
2019, Mitch Tobin, the Colorado River had a pretty good year. Lake Mead rising the most in a decade due to heavy flows into the river stemming from last year's very good snowpack. So what are you saying now? How is 2020 shaping up?
You know, at this point, it's unclear exactly, you know, what will happen over the next few months. Last year was really a pretty historic year in terms of the snowpack. You know, I've been living here for about a dozen years, and it was the biggest snowpack that I've seen. And so that certainly helped the river and the reservoirs. But, you know, at this point, at least here in Colorado in the upper basin, you know, we're roughly about average or a little bit above average in some places. But that can change in either direction. And so we could go into a dry spell, or we could get hit with some more storms, in which case, you know, the numbers will go up or go down. I think an important thing to remember is that regardless of how much it snows here, we're dealing with warmer temperatures because of climate change. And so a number of studies have found that those higher temperatures reduce the amount of water in the river and in Lake Mead and Lake Powell, because you have higher evaporation rates, you have a longer growing season for plants, more transpiration from those plants, more sublimation from the snow just going up into the atmosphere, evaporating before it actually reaches the rivers. And so it's important to certainly look at the precipitation in terms of rain and snowfall, but temperature is a really important factor as well.
It is, and that was really what I was going to bring up next, because with climate change, you really, with these warmer temperatures, you just, you don't know. Things can look great in the winter, but we've had cases then the forest here in northern Arizona dries out and is very susceptible to the wildfires. So it's really too early to tell, I guess.
Yeah, and, you know, I think there's some mounting concern in places like California, where it's been quite dry recently. You know, very often it's very wet at this point of the year in places like Northern California, but February has been pretty dry so far. January was dry, and so we're starting to see drought creep back there. And in terms of the drought situation, more broadly, you know, we still have this sort of area of drought or abnormally dry conditions centered around the Four Corners Basin. It's been that way for a while, and, you know, that seems to be persisting. So, you know, we'll see what happens here in Colorado. The snowpack tends to peak around the first week of April, so we've got about 2 months to go to see how that plays out.
All right, Mitch, I've only got a minute left, but, man, you are ahead of your time with the book Endangered, which came out, because it's been like 10 years or something? How long?
Yes, 2010.
2010. But look what's happened. I mean, look with Australia. What did we lose? They said like maybe so many creatures, maybe a billion with a B, critters, that's what I want to say, lost in the wildfire. But you really have, you nailed it, man, 10 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, I wish I hadn't in some ways. You know, it's sort of a negative story, but, you know, I think all of the trends that I was writing about in that book that was published in 2010 and before then for the newspapers in Tucson, you know, I don't think any of those trends have changed in terms of climate change, pressure on habitat, invasive species. They're all getting worse by pretty much all accounts. So, you know, I still think we have time to turn things around, but you know, each day it becomes that much harder.
All right, Mitch Tobin, enjoy the snow. I know you love to ski.
Right.
Skiing must be pretty good right now, right?
It has been, yeah. Yeah, so that has been great.
Mitch Tobin, thank you, sir.
Okay, thank you, Bill.
Mitch Tobin is director of the Water Desk. It's a new journalism initiative at the University of Colorado Boulder, and their primary focus now on Western water issues and specifically the Colorado River Basin. Mitch is our contributor here on the program. He's our environmental contributor on Buckmaster. We continue with our arts contributor, Margaret Regan, talking with us about the Fox Tucson Theater Arts Report next.
This is Bill Buckmaster, and you know how I love to travel. I've always searched for that new destination or travel experience that makes life so special. And I looked to Ryan Hansen of Bon Voyage Travel for insight on current travel trends.
This is Ryan Hansen, and I'd like to personally invite your listeners to the Bon Voyage Travel Showcase. Over 40 travel partners will be on hand to answer all the individual travel questions that you have. Bill, you and I are going to team up for a joint presentation to help your listeners discover all the world has to offer.
I'm looking forward to it, Ryan, talking about the inspiration behind my lifetime of travel to more than 100 countries.
Join us on February 16th from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Hilton El Conquistador for Bon Voyage's free travel showcase.
And look no further. The folks at Bon Voyage will help you plan that perfect journey.
Be sure to visit bvtravel.com to RSVP.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The current Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year plan, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to identify priority projects based on public input. RTA member jurisdictions will submit their respective project lists by June 2020 for the CAC to consider for a future plan. To learn more, visit www.rtanext.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. This week's Arts Report on Buckmaster, sponsored by Fox Tucson Theater, welcoming writer, singer, songwriter, and Grammy winner Ani DeFranco with special guest Jessica Hoop this Thursday, February the 13th, then Valentine's Day the next day. It's this Friday. Bring someone you will love to see the Alan Parsons Live Project. Then next week, the Fox welcomes country rock legends Pure Prairie League with the award-winning outlaw cowboy Michael Martin Murphy. He had that great song a few years ago, Wildfire. Terrific terrific song. Taking the stage on Saturday the 22nd. Boy, what can you say? The Chieftains. How many Grammys? Six-time Grammy winners, the Chieftains. So appropriate with St. Patrick's Day coming up here in mid-March. Select your great seat to see Ani DeFranco with special guest Jessica Hoop this Thursday, then Alan Parsons Live Project February 14th, Pure Prairie League with Michael Martin Murphy Sunday the 16th of February, then the Chieftains, an Irish goodbye. Boy, I hope it's not a goodbye for the Chieftains on Saturday the 22nd of February. More information at foxtucsontheater.com. Margaret Regan, longtime Tucson Weekly arts writer. I'm sure, Margaret, you don't want to say goodbye to the Chieftains, do you?
No, I love the Chieftains.
I know.
And it's funny, they often come here right around that time,
yeah.
February 22nd, for
yeah.
some reason.
Margaret,
yeah.
Margaret Regan, author of two prize-winning books on immigration. Of course, she's been writing about the arts since 1990 for the Weekly, and now she has this other honor that really is wonderful, writer in residence at the Pima County Libraries for the months of February, March, and April. Margaret, how is that going? How do people get in touch with you about this?
Oh, well, it's all online on the library website, but the place where I'm meeting, I'm calling them clients. I mean, the deal is I'm going to be speaking to people for half an hour, one-on-one, people who have questions about their own writing and if I have any suggestions for improving it. So that's going to be on Monday afternoons from 1 to 4 at the Martha Cooper Library, Midtown, and then on Wednesday mornings from 10 to noon at Himmel Library. And each of those two libraries, I think, insists that you either call or come in to make your reservation to see me, because I think they just don't want people randomly doing it on the internet and saying, oh, that looks nice, and then not showing up. So.
Okay, so go to the website at the library for more information.
Yep.
All right, you've got lots going on. You were very, very busy putting together the visual. You wrote about the visual arts section and,
right.
of course, the dance section. You love dance for the spring arts preview for the Weekly this week. We could spend probably 3 hours just talking about everything. Why don't
for
we
sure.
hit on a couple of, because I want to cover both visual and dance. Could
okay.
you hit a couple of the highlights for us?
Yeah, well, I'm very interested in this young painter named Pape Solomon. He's only in his late 20s at this point, and he was a big sensation 2 years ago at the biennial at the Tucson Museum of Art. He won a prize. He ended up being on the cover of the Weekly with a self-portrait.
Mm.
He's a guy, he's a refugee. His mother fled when she was pregnant with him from Liberia in Africa. He was born in the nearby country as a refugee in Guinea. And they lived in, you know, those sordid refugee camps for a long time. But when he was 14, they all came to the United States. You know, legally, it takes a long time to be vetted and allowed to come in as a refugee. And then here he's doing amazing things very quickly. He got a grant from the Phoenix Art Museum. And as I said, he was a big star here a couple years ago at the Tucson Museum of Art. So now he's having a solo show at the university at the Joseph Gross Gallery. And I can't wait to see it. He's actually speaking on Thursday evening this week, if anybody wanted to get out and learn about him.
We have folks who don't know the air, especially in winter. Where is the gallery? Could you tell our listeners?
Yeah, it is a little tricky to find.
Right.
If people might know where the Center for Creative Photography is and the University of Arizona Museum of Art. It's near Park and Speedway. But if you know where you are with those places, you go up the steps to the U of A Museum of Art. And to your right, there's this nice little gallery called Joseph Gross Gallery. So it's in the same plaza as UAMA.
All right. Well, I'm going to jump back and forth here a little bit because I do want to cover dance too. What's the highlight that you've got that you wrote about for the spring art preview?
Well, gosh, you know, one of the things I'm really excited about is not happening until June, but I guess I'll bring that up. There was a wonderful dance company in here years ago called the 10th Street Dance Works. And they were, you know, they did wonderful modern dance, and they were funny, and they were talented. There were people like Tom Lewis, who's still in town, Charlotte Adam, who went on to a career in Utah, and Carolyn Miner and others, and sometimes Doug Nielsen was in it, too. Anyway, they disbanded, gosh, it's got to be 20 years ago now, but they are having a reunion concert in Tucson in June. And I can't wait to see it. Now, they say they themselves are probably not going to be dancing that much because they've all grown in age, and they're going to get some, you know, dynamite young dancers to do some of those shows, you know, some of those pieces from all the time ago. So I'm excited about that. And Ballet Tucson, I'm always excited about them. You know, their spring show's coming up. They're doing another Balanchine, and I just can't praise them enough for they've been getting the permission of the George Balanchine Trust to dance his works, and that's no easy feat to get that. And they just did a Balanchine piece at the concert in earlier this month. And they're doing another one in March. So
I think that one is called Dance and Dessert Show.
Yeah.
That one's March the 13th to the 15th at the Stevie Eller Theater over at the U of A, which is really a nice dance venue.
Oh, yeah.
So that's going to – go ahead. Yeah.
And I was going to say, and the dessert part, Bill, is this is the concert once a year where – they get all the bakers in Tucson to donate sweets.
Ooh.
And after the show, you can go out there and, you know, eat five pieces of pie or cake or whatever, and then they have coffee. So it's a lot of fun.
All right. Jumping back to the visual arts, where there's some, you want to do a quick one or two?
Yeah, okay. Let's go down to... Davis Dominguez Gallery has a beautiful show right now. It's all about abstraction. And I think we talked about this last time. Davis Dominguez Gallery is going to be closing permanently in June. So it's a good idea to get yourself down there to Davis Dominguez, which is, you know, around 6th and 6th. But they have this beautiful show called Pure Abstract. Joanne Carahart, who's a good painter from Tucson, she has all these giant oil paintings with just the most beautiful colors and lines and shapes. And then they have a couple other shows before they leave us here in June. Okay, and one other one I can mention.
Real quickly, please.
Yeah, okay. At Pima College West, there's a wonderful show of Mexican painters, all of them from Oaxaca. And they're actually having a talk this Thursday night, too.
Sounds good. Margaret, thank you so much. We'll look for your work also. Folks want to get in touch with you, look at the Pima County Library about you being the artist in residence. Thanks, Margaret.
Thanks, Bill.
The Buckmaster Show Arts Report, sponsored by Fox Tucson Theater. Select your great seat today to see Ani DeFranco with special guest Jessica Hoop. This Thursday, February the 13th, then it's the Alan Parsons Live Project on The Day for Lovers, St. Valentine's Day, February the 14th. Pure Prairie League with Michael Martin Murphy. That man's a legend in the country and music field. Sunday, February 16th, the Chieftains. What can you say? My goodness, the Chieftains. Such a legend in themselves, an Irish goodbye. We hope it's not a goodbye tour. Saturday, February the 22nd. More information, foxtucson.com. I'm Bill Buckmaster. On behalf of John Couch, have a great afternoon and evening.